Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, welcome back, guys. This is another episode of Just I haven't done one for a while because I had the flu, y'all. And then my family before that, they had the flu. I still got people with fevers in my house. Go away, flu. Go away. I hope you guys are doing so good. I have been reading John 3 through 15. John 3 verses 1 through 15. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Nicodemus. I don't know if you know that guy, but we're going to talk about it. So let's go ahead and read it. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher from God, for no one else can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he's old?" Thankfully, that's not a thing because, wow, for the poor women. "Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't marvel at what I said to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit." So then Nicodemus said, "How can these things be?" And Jesus said, "Are you a teacher of Israel and yet you don't understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you," he likes starting with that, doesn't he? "We speak of what we know. We bear witness to what we have seen, but you don't receive our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you don't believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." So I'm not going to like go back to that ending part. So I'll just talk about it right now. In Numbers, I think it was 21, Moses had a serpent that he put up on a pole. It wasn't a real snake. And if they would look at that, then they wouldn't die of the snake bite. And so it's kind of like the idea of, it's your choice, look at it or not, but if you don't, you're going to die. And so you can look to the Son of Man who was lifted up, i.e. crucified, lifted up high. But if you don't look to him, that's fine too, but you're going to die. So that's kind of what that symbolism is. So let's go back to the beginning. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So he's important. The Pharisees were the bosses of the church. They were super not happy. If you listen to any of the previous ones that I've done or, you know, read any of the previous parts of John, they were not happy that Jesus was around. And so here comes one of the leaders who is not happy with Jesus, but he comes by himself. He uses the term rabbi, which is a term of respect. So he's not coming mad at him. He's coming, but he's coming at night, right? Why is he coming at night? Why does anybody who does anything at night do it? Because it's night and they're hoping nobody sees you. So he is, you know, brave. He's got a different heart towards Jesus than the others, obviously, or he wouldn't be coming. He wouldn't be coming by himself. But he also is kind of concerned about other people seeing him, or he wouldn't be coming at night. But I think it's so interesting. He says, "We know you're a teacher that's come from God." We know. Not just I know. Like, we all know that God sent you. So let me get this straight. All of the people who are against Jesus know that he is from God. What? That, I don't know if you guys do the Enneagram, and I'm not like super well-versed, I'm not an expert, but I'm a one, and ones have a really strong sense of right and wrong, and oh my gosh, this makes my oneness just flare up. What? You mean to tell me that you are in charge, and you know the right thing to do, and you're not doing it? Like, there should be a whole throng of people. All the Pharisees should have come to him at high noon, not the one Pharisee come in the middle of the night. That is not okay with me. Leaders should do the right thing. That's just my soapbox. Anyhow, that bothered me. So then it begs the question, what are they trying to protect? Why not, if they are teachers of the law, if they are you know, the law talks about how Jesus is coming. So if they know he's from God, then what in the heck are we doing here, people? Obviously, just the reason that any of us do the wrong thing, when we know it's the right thing, we're trying to protect something. We've decided something, we've set it up as bigger than God, more important than God. It just, I think, begs the question in our own lives, what have we put in front of God? What are we deciding is a bigger deal than doing the right thing that we know that we should do? There is, I'm sure you know, maybe you've heard of this book called Counterfeit Gods by Tim Keller. Anything we put above God is what we're serving as God. And if it is not God, then it is a counterfeit God. Another word for that is idol. We don't really like that word. That word makes us uncomfortable and makes us say, mind your own business. But I'm not going to mind my business. So Tim Keller says that the human heart is an idol factory. And I think also we need to remember, sometimes we're totally straight with God and we're like, nope, you are the only one in charge and I do not have any idols, no false gods, you're the God. But if that's true on a Tuesday, that doesn't mean on Thursday you're not got some kind of idol that you've put up. It can be good things like your kids, your husband, I don't know, food, not eating food, fitness, all that kind of stuff. So I think we constantly need to be rooting out the idols in our lives because we're just going to turn around and make some more when we're not paying attention. Strategy to struggle well, based on just seeing those Joker Pharisees who are a bunch of, I don't know, I'm so mad at them right now for not doing the right thing. It'd be good for us to read that book and figure out in what ways are we not doing the right thing because we're just like them. All right. So then the other thing is we can look at Nicodemus and go, that guy is awesome. Way to go, dude. Like you're standing out from among the crowd. Like you're risking stuff by coming in secret and everything. That's really great. So what we see in here, we only hear about Nicodemus in the book of John, and that's fine. Like they weren't supposed to do stuff just to get shout outs in the Bible. But so he was in the book of John in the beginning here. Then we see him again later on when they are putting Jesus, they're mad at him, the Pharisees, still mad at him. And so he kind of stands up for that him. I think it's in chapter 7. He defended Jesus and said, hey, we should hear what he has to say. And then all the Pharisees were like, you know, mad about it. And he's like, okay, well. And then at the end, we see, at the end, meaning Jesus has been crucified, we see that Nicodemus came with Joseph of Arimathea, got the body down. We see that Nicodemus brings like 75 pounds of spices, which lets us know he was a man of means. It would be a lot of money for us to buy 75 pounds of spices at the Walmart, right? But it was even more expensive then. And so he came, he was putting his money where his mouth is, you know. Jesus obviously meant a lot to him because he prepared the body for burial when even the disciples at that point had been like, peace, we are not even sticking around. So Nicodemus, I'm not trying to say he wasn't fantastic. He was fantastic. He did a lot of really great stuff. He was devoted. Most everybody thinks he was like a secret follower of Christ. And that's great. I love what Nicodemus did there. But it made me think about there was another way that he could have done that. He could have taken a stand like in a way that wasn't secret. And I'm not saying that like that's what I would do. It's what I hope I would do. It made me think of Paul, right? Another Jewish leader, you know, several years down the road, he was persecuting Christians. And then all of a sudden, bam, he was devoted, but he was a different kind of devoted. You know, like Nicodemus was definitely devoted. I would say that Paul was fully devoted. Paul was not just like do or die. He was do and die. He was beheaded for Christ. And it's just a different kind of devotion, right? A different level. Both are great, but I just think, wouldn't we want to be more like Paul? But what's that look like? I wanted to tell in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks a little bit about everything he went through. And I'm sure Nicodemus went through some stuff, you know, like the Pharisees were mad at him when he stood up for Jesus. Maybe he had to sneak around to get all those 75 pounds of spices. I hope he had some kind of animal carrying those because that's a lot of pounds of spices if you're sneaking around. I don't understand the logistics of all that. At least it smelled good, so that's neat. But let's look at what happened to Paul. Paul, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. It's when he's talking about how, like, oh, you guys think that you've suffered for the cross of Christ? I have done far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, often near death. That doesn't sound fun. 5 times I received 39 lashes. It's a lot of math, but I'm going to say that's more lashes than I want, unless you're talking about these lashes, and I don't think that's what Paul meant. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times he was shipwrecked. A night and a day he was adrift at sea? That sounds terrible. That freaks me out. My husband loves sailing. The Perfect Storm? Too many movies like that. I don't want to be adrift at sea, not even for one day. On frequent journeys, I was in danger from rivers, in danger from robbers, in danger from my own people. That hurts. In danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the wilderness, in danger at sea, in dangers from false brothers, in toil, in hardship, through many a sleepless night. Mamas, we at least can identify with Paul in that. In hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there was a daily pressure on me about all these churches that I love. I love all these people. So interesting that that's what he put at the end was, and my heart hurts for the people that I love. But anyway, so we got Nicodemus, totally devoted, secret follower of Christ. He did some really great things to bless Jesus, kind of, you know. He did some things. But Paul, man, he was fully devoted to the point of death. It just begs the question, like, which one are you? Are you devoted like Nicodemus? Or are you fully devoted like Paul? And I just want to say, because this is a question that is not meant to put shame on you or guilt, because I just want to, like, I think of him like a cozy blanket. I just want to cover myself and nestle into shame and guilt because it's comfortable and because that's where I live a lot of times. But that is, this question is not to give you shame or guilt. It is to just say, are there places where I could be more fully devoted? And I think that we immediately, or at least me, I immediately go, I need to be outside in my neighborhood, just walking up and down the street with my Bible and just like yelling at people, come to know the Lord. Well, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense at all. Don't do that. People think we're going to be weird enough as it is, as Christ followers. We don't need to like actually be weirdos. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to say it is not about how much stuff we do. Nicodemus and Paul, their level of devotion did not have anything to do with how much stuff they did. I think that it's important to realize, like, Paul, after he became Paul from Saul, says he went into the wilderness for a couple years. I don't know what he was doing there. He didn't feel the need to say. But I mean, unless like the trees and the shrubbery came to know the Lord, we would say, What were you doing out there? It's a bunch of wasted time. But it wasn't wasted time. And because it's not about how devoted you are, does not have to do with how many things you do. Because if we look at Nicodemus, he was the leader of the church, like an important, very important person in the Jewish faith. So he was doing a lot of things, but none of them in the name of Jesus, because he was a secret follower of Christ. So how much you do, has nothing to do with it. However, we cannot deny the fact that out of our heart, we end up working, right? And so if you have nothing to show for your love for the Lord, that's a little suspect whether or not it's a big deal to you. However, if you're in a time where you just need to be in the wilderness, I mean, the Lord knows, you know? So I wanted to ask you that hard question. And I have to ask it to myself too. I think that it seems like maybe it really doesn't seem like that, but I have a podcast to talk to people about God in my closet. I'm talking to my phone right now about God. That to me is so much easier than talking to like a face at the grocery store about God. So there are places where I could be more bold and more fully devoted myself. So I'm talking to myself. We don't need to be ashamed. We just need to wonder about it. And I think sometimes we think, well, okay, so I'm devoted like Nicodemus, but I'm not like devoted, fully devoted like Paul. And I never have been, and I probably can't. It's just like not my personality. Well, that's a bunch of malarkey. No offense. However, it does not take long to make the decision that you're going to be fully devoted. Paul, when he was like on a donkey and God talked to him and he fell off the donkey and he got up and he was like, okay, I'm in. So as long as it takes to fall off a donkey, that's how long it takes to become fully devoted. Like you could do it right now. I've never timed falling off a donkey. Hopefully I don't ever have the opportunity to, but it doesn't take long. It doesn't take an overhaul. It doesn't take another Bible study. It doesn't take cleaning yourself up to come to the Lord. We obviously know we can't do that and we don't need to, but it's just a heart thing of going, that's it. I'm in. I'm all the way in. It made me think of when we lived in China, there were some, I had a lot of people that I knew who were followers of Christ. Nobody knew because they would lose their jobs and they would lose their families and they just didn't feel like that was something that they could come out and just say. There was no judgment there. It's just that's where they were. I totally get it. But then I had friends who like led the underground illegal churches in China. And I had two friends And so it's illegal in that, it's underground in that they're preaching the gospel and having the whole gospel is not allowed. So that's secret. But them following Christ in their whole lives and doing things that were dangerous for the sake of the gospel, that in that way they were not secret. So it was more like a Paul thing there. And one day we went to see them and they were gone. And I never heard from them again. I never saw them again. They may be with the Lord. And so... I mean, we don't want that to happen to us, but I think I'd really rather be them than secretly caring about Jesus but not telling anybody, you know? But again, sometimes you have to start there to move to the other place. But I would just encourage all of us to really challenge ourselves to move to the place where we are fully devoted followers of Christ and not just pretty devoted followers of Christ, you know? Yeah, okay, and so one more thing I wanted to share about that is that in verse 10, well, Nicodemus is like, I don't even know, understand what you're saying, Jesus, which is not that we've seen so far. Jesus is confusing. He starts a lot of things with, truly, truly, I say to you, and then the things that he says, nobody really understands. But what Jesus says, because Nicodemus isn't understanding anything he says, you really are a teacher of the law and you're not understanding any of the things that I've said. I think the point is here, we're dealing with Nicodemus, who is not, he's not even a fully devoted follower of God, or he would come out with, hold it, this guy's from God and I know it, but he's not willing to like not go along with the crowd. We just need to watch our teachers. We cannot assume that because a teacher says something, it's right. In fact, just today I said something on my podcast and I had a friend push back, but not in a bad way, but she was just like, where's that from? I need to know where that's from. And I love that. Yes. Do not just go, someone with a microphone said something, it must be true. No, not true. Not true at all. You cannot assume that your leaders are out for your ultimate good and are willing to make the hard choices to do the right thing. We just can't. I wish that we could. They should, but they don't. So just check it for yourself. That is everything that I had. So let me pray for us. God, help us to step out in the places that make us feel super scared. Help us to be fully devoted. And Lord, in our hearts, in our those secret places right now, would you let us know where we are like kind of devoted, a little bit devoted, and help us to be fully devoted. Help us to lay down the things that we, the sins, or even not even sins, just things that we like super like, but we have put it above you. Help show us that those things are never going to fill us the way that we think that they will. So we pray that you'd help us to be bold because we love you, not because we're afraid or not because we're ashamed, but just because of love. Yeah, Lord, thank you that you love us first and really, really thoroughly. And we can trust that love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.